Hey everyone, this is Ellen Rogan, your host of today's edition of Horse's Mouth Advisor Radio. As always, I'm here to interview guests that I know have great information to help you be more successful in every area of your life, especially your business. And today we're going to talk tech. So there's so much as advisors we have to handle in our businesses. There's the compliance stuff, there's the investment research, there's planning information, there's all sorts of things. And then on top of that, we want to make sure we're the most efficient and effective with technology as possible. So we have an amazing guest here today to talk tech with us. Her name is Sierra Madro. And the cool thing about Sierra is that she's talking tech from a place of really knowing what happens in this industry because she helped to engineer the first Pentium motherboards, the Kindle screen technology, and streaming music software for your home. So to help us stay above the technology fray, I am so excited to have all the way from Portland, Oregon, a tech geek, a futurist, a keynote speaker, a gin connoisseur, and an all-around totally cool woman, Sierra Madro. Sierra, thank you so much for being here.
I am happy to join you, Ellen.
Yeah, so, okay, with technology trends changing all the time and everything that's going on, what technology trends do you think advisors should be paying attention to right now?
Well, the area that is probably top of mind for a lot of advisors is really around the area of robotics. And specifically for advisors, I know there's a lot of the robo-advisor kind of thing coming along, but robotics as a trend is even bigger than that and is an area that I think a lot of advisors are concerned about, and rightfully so. That said, robotics is really looking at ways to automate a lot of the communication that should be mundane, the easy stuff, the silly questions, the stuff that used to be answered in FAQs. And robotics is really good at that. And that's actually, if you look at it the right way, that's an opportunity. That's not something to fear. It's something to embrace and something to work with, because it means that we can, if used correctly, allow robotics to take over a lot of the stuff that isn't a lot of fun, isn't a lot of interesting stuff, and allow us to focus more on the areas that really allow us to be engaging, that allow us to solve the difficult problems. And that's areas where I think that robotics are really giving us an opportunity to be even better at what we do, as long as we don't go into it with that whole fearful kind of mindset. And that's the real area where I think a lot of people get hung up.
So when you say that, I'm picturing some hugely complicated, extremely expensive solutions out there. I mean, is this something that for the small business owners out there, the advisors that have smaller shops, is this something they should look for the companies they do business with to provide them that maybe have deeper pockets? Or are there solutions in this that aren't super expensive for advisors to take advantage of?
Well, there's two ways to look at robotics. I mean, certainly if you're looking specifically in the financial advisor industry, then those tend to be more expensive solutions and probably something that you're expecting a provider to provide for you. That said, there's a lot to robotics that's very simple and very easy that maybe don't spring to mind. A good example, I use a tool that allows me to very easily schedule meetings with other people. Now, as you've probably talked and tried to email back and forth with somebody to find out, okay, is it going to be Tuesday at 2 or maybe Thursday at 10? What's your schedule like? And you go back and forth and back and forth. Pain in the butt, frankly. But what you can do instead is use a simple tool. There's XI, that's a tool that allows me to have a robotic assistant that most people would never even know was actually a robot answering service that I just CC my assistant, Amy, on the email, and I say, Amy will handle the scheduling. And then the robot takes over in the background, sending emails that are perfectly conversational English that allow the person to do the same interactions that you would expect to do with an actual live assistant. This is the type of solution in robotics that is very straightforward, very easy to use, and doesn't require either the person, you know, either me or the person I'm trying to schedule my meeting with to do anything differently than we ordinarily would. Those are the areas where I think we're going to see a lot of opportunity with robotics and with these automatic chat bots and things like that, that will allow us to save quite a bit of time and really without compromising that personal feel that we really want to have in our interactions with other people.
So I thought Amy was a real person when I was emailing you. It's like, oh, that's my daughter's name. Thanks, Amy. That's really, really cool. That's a really great example. And I think it gets past some advisors' fear of, well, I don't want it to seem like they don't really have any personal contact, or it makes it harder for someone. It feels like you're serving them. Because sometimes when someone sends me a link to some of those schedulers, I feel like all of a sudden it's on me and it made it harder. So that's really cool. So as advisors, you know, for the more technical kind of robotics that are out there, these robo-advisors that are looking at different investment strategies and other things, and even like someone like Amy, are they going to take over the world? I mean, is that going to hurt our ability in terms of being advisors or professionals? Is there something we should be worried about?
In my opinion, no. We shouldn't be worried. We should actually be excited. And the reason is that, like I was saying just now around the trends, the robots are really, and these chat bots and all of these, this class of technology, are going to allow us to focus on the things that make us uniquely human. And those uniquely human characteristics of connection and conversation and really being able to relate to other people and their problems and their solutions, that's what's going to give us our ability to do our jobs even better. Because if we're not worried about when to schedule a meeting, then that allows us to have more time and more brain power to be present in that meeting and really relate with our clients and relate with the people who depend on us. It also, I mean, if you start looking at some of the robots that are analyzing trends, which, by the way, is a technology futurist, I'm looking at these robots analyzing trends and thinking they're going to take over my job as well. And to a great degree, I'm excited about that as well. Because, you know, as a human, I can look at a very finite data set. There's only so much that I can really think about at any given time. Robots can think about a whole lot more than I can. And that means that they're going to come up with conclusions that maybe I wouldn't have come up with. But I'm still the human. I still get to run it through my filter of what I know is important and what I know is something that's going to really impact the people I'm trying to serve. So that's why I think that the robotics, they're going to take over parts of the world, but they're actually going to give us more time and ability to interact and relate with people.
That makes so much sense. And I know that that's really what builds our business, is that human connection. Otherwise, people could go do everything on their own. And it just highlights even more how important those skills are. The markets have been pretty quiet, pretty going in an up direction. The second we have more volatility, this is the place where we can really, as advisors, step in and shine, or more complexity. If tax laws change, you know, this is where we can ease some of our clients' angst and will set us apart from people just doing it on their own or going through a robo-advisor. That's great.
Exactly.
So mobile technology, you can't walk anywhere, especially in a busy city, without seeing people just looking down and staring at their phones with iPhones and Androids and tablets. You know, it's so pervasive now. So as advisors and running a business, what do we need to do, if anything, to be more mobile ready?
Well, certainly you're right that mobile is taking over. I mean, 2016, last year, was the first year where there was more internet access from mobile devices than there were from desktop or laptop computers. So it is definitely taking over. And that's actually, once again, I'm a little bit of a Pollyanna, a little bit of a optimist when it comes to technology. That's why I'm in this business. But I also see that to be mobile ready is, again, an opportunity. There are things that we need to learn, and there are ways that we need to adapt. But once we've done that, then there's actually a lot more opportunity to be present. So for instance, to give an example, about 2 years ago, I moved my business. I'm self-employed, and I moved my business from working on my laptop computer as my primary daily interaction to working on my iPad Pro. And I now spend basically all day every day on my iPad and occasionally on my iPhone. But my iPad's my primary computer. That took an adjustment. But now that I've done that, it means that I don't have to worry about battery life. It means that I can go anywhere, do anything. My iPad fits on the tray table in the airplane just fine. And it's really freed me up. The other thing that has happened as a result is that I get in conversations that I wouldn't have gotten in before. And it's actually led to me creating business because I'm more present when I'm sitting at Starbucks. I'm more present when I'm out and about instead of having that laptop that looks, it just makes me look like I'm totally engrossed in the internet or whatever I'm doing. So I think that there's definitely, as we start looking at mobile technology, should we be mobile ready? Yes, definitely. And it's an investment of time, a small investment of time, that will pay off huge dividends as we look forward 3 to 5 years, because as we look at the product announcements and we look at the direction that we're moving as a technology industry, we're moving more and more mobile. So the more you do right now to be prepared for that, the better positioned you're going to be in the next 1 year, 5 years from now to be truly effective.
So is there anything you can't do on your iPad Pro that you could do when you were using your laptop exclusively?
There are occasional things now and then. But what I've discovered is 2 years ago, yes, there were a few things, actually a decent number of things that were more challenging to do on the iPad than on a traditional laptop. The gap is narrowing. And it's gotten to the point now where I rarely need to pull out my now 5-year-old laptop because I can do anything I need to on my iPad Pro. But it's interesting because I think that the problem most people come into when they start approaching doing things on a tablet or on a phone is they expect it to be the same experience that they have on their laptop. It will not be the same experience. It'll be a new workflow, but that doesn't make it a worse workflow. It makes it a different workflow. And once you know what that new workflow is, it's frequently just as easy or sometimes even easier than the way you're accustomed to doing it on a laptop.
Good. Okay. So let's talk about websites a little bit. So, you know, pretty much everyone has a website now, but I know that they're not always findable or useful for people. So how is what's going on in with the internet now changing the way that we should be building websites?
Well, as I said, last year was the first year that more people accessed the web mobile than on a traditional desktop. That means you really, really need to pay attention to how your website looks on a mobile device and look at it from different screen sizes. There are tools online that allow you to virtually see, without having to pull out your phone or your tablet, virtually see what your website will look like on different screen sizes. And the key term, looking at vocabulary, the key term you want is mobile responsive. Because a mobile responsive website automatically adjusts what's viewable on the screen based on the size of the screen. That said, the thing that I also like to really recommend to people who are in the process right now of building a new website is, instead of looking at it from the viewpoint of how is this going to look on my 22-inch desktop monitor, think about first, how is this going to look on my phone? And really approach it as a mobile-first mindset as opposed to a mobile-second or mobile-maybe kind of mindset. Because there's going to be more people looking at your website over the next 2 to 3 years on a 5-inch screen than on a 20-inch screen. So design with that in mind.
So I think we did okay with this, but I probably should have had this conversation with you 9 months ago. We just redid my speaker author website, ellenrogan.com, because it was not mobile friendly. You know, we'd had that website. We spent so much time on it, whatever, how many ever years ago we did it, and we've just redone it. We did not go mobile first. We did how it looks on a desktop first and then made sure it looked good mobile. So, yep. You know, hopefully it ended up okay, but that's really makes so much sense to look at it that way. And I bet many people aren't doing it that way. And, you know, the other thing about, for those of you listening who have not updated your site so it's mobile responsive, the good news is when you know you absolutely have to do this, it helps you refresh things, because we can get so busy doing everything else that it's not always easy to go back over and kind of update your site.
Right. And that's thinking about the findability of sites. One of the things that Google and other search engines look at is how active your site is in terms of how much it's updated. So that's why blogs, for instance, are very popular, because it allows Google to see constant activity on a website. But if you have a site that you created that you haven't touched in a year and a half, then that actually decreases your findability on Google and other search engines, because they think your information is stale and out of date. So it's a really good idea to make some changes, just to, you know, even if it's just making sure that you're tweaking the wording or adding some new keyword phrases, things like that, to the information on your site. But change it on a regular basis, because from Google's standpoint and from the search engine standpoint, that says to them that you're paying attention and you're trying to make your content new and relevant.
Does changing pictures count as that, or does it have to be text?
Pictures can do it, because basically it's changing the timestamp on the files and on the information, so it gets re-indexed.
Okay, so I can say this now. It makes me insane when I look at people's websites and their pictures look nothing like them.
Oh, I know.
And it's so, I had to get new photos taken when we were doing the new website, and it was so easy to find someone really good. The woman I'd been using for years retired, and I was like, oh no. And I went online, and, you know, in about a half hour, I found someone who was awesome, less expensive than who I was using before. And so So I'll just put that out there for all of you that have had a picture that's up there that really doesn't look like you anymore. It's a good time to update it.
The strangest compliment I get is people who look at me, meet me for the first time and say, "You look just like your pictures." Who am I supposed to look like?
Well, you also have such a cool image, Sierra, too. Do you want to just like mention that for people that haven't gone to your website yet? Because it's so beautiful compared to what, in contrast to your topic of what you talk about.
Yeah, so my personality and my image and my approach to technology, I try to be a lot more friendly about it than most technologists are. And my personal style is very retro. So I tend to be dressed in a kind of a retro 50s kind of look and feel. And I run a website called the Tech Happy Hour that is set in a 50s cocktail lounge, but talking about technology futures, because I think it's a way of disarming and allowing people to get a little bit more comfortable with the idea that technology can be friendly and it can be fun.
Yeah, and you clearly exemplify that. And just for those of you who haven't seen Sierra's picture yet, it's like a totally cool 50s retro. It's not like weird. I just want to say that. She's gorgeous and she is, you know, really a really cool style. So I love that.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, okay, you talked about XI, which is that kind of scheduling program. Are there other tech tools that could make my day run more smoothly or more efficiently that I should be looking at?
Well, the key, I think, when you're starting to look at tech tools is thinking about integration. Because, for instance, all of us have email accounts. Some of us have many, many email accounts. And we don't necessarily think about how our email would interact. We probably think about how it interacts with our calendar, maybe, but even that interaction can be streamlined. So when I first start looking at how to make my day run more smoothly, it's how do I get the programs that I use to work together to automate activities so that I have to do less. So for instance, I've got a tool that's set up. I use the G Suite from Google as my email calendar provider, amongst other things. And one of the features in that is that I can have it automatically scan my email as it comes in and find out if my email is setting up appointments. And if it sets up appointments, it automatically adds them to my calendar, so that I don't miss any meetings. I don't miss things that might happen. It also does things like, I do a lot of traveling as part of my speaking and consulting, and it adds all of my flight information directly into my calendar when I get all of my flight confirmations from the airlines. So there are ways that we can automate the communication between programs so that we don't have to do as much manual. And that is something I think a lot of people don't think about when they're setting up their programs to begin with, is how's this going to work in the full system of what I'm doing? And that can actually influence which tools you choose to use. I have, I just changed my to-do list tool that I used, and I'm now using Todoist. And I do that now because I have an Amazon Echo in my home, and I found out I could integrate very easily so that I can add items to my to-do list directly from my Echo without having to even go to the computer. And that was entirely based off of that integration that I could do, and now it's made a number of things a lot easier for me because I can integrate those tools together.
That's really cool, because I am not using Alexa to the full extent that I should be, and I would love that for to be a little bit smarter on that. So to-do list, I'm gonna go look that up for sure. So, as you know, when we were talking before about robo-advisors and really adding that human connection, we know that it's important to stay in touch with clients frequently. Are there tools that you would recommend to help automate this type of communication?
Well, the classic is, of course, having a really good and updated CRM, mm-hmm. Customer Relationship Manager. And there's a lot of different CRM tools, and I'm sure many of the advisors are using have an integrated CRM as a part of their advisor tool set. So certainly using the CRM to the best of its capabilities is huge. And then integrating, once again, integrating that in with an email list tool as well. If you're using one of the integrated suites, these tools are probably already integrated together. If you're not using one of the integrated suites, then you'll want to look at CRM tools and email list tools that do work together, like Insightly and MailChimp, something like that, that will allow you to send off communications on a regular basis to your list of clients. The other that is, and I know this is an area that is a little bit more sensitive in the financial advisor area, but to the degree that you have any sort of official presence on social media, then I highly recommend looking at a tool called Meet Edgar, as in M-E-E-T, Edgar, the name. And meetedgar.com allows you to schedule out in a very intelligent way previous posts that you've made so that you're always posting something, even if you haven't posted something today. And Meet Edgar can do that very intelligently so that you always have that constant presence without necessarily having to do something manually every day to post on Facebook or LinkedIn or Twitter or anywhere else that you're posting information.
So those are
a couple of tools.
Is Meet Edgar similar to Hootsuite, or this is on top of that? I mean, can it do some of the same thing Hootsuite does?
Does all of the same things that Hootsuite does plus. So what you can do with so Hootsuite allows you to basically say, for instance, my October 1st blog post, I want that to post Tuesday at 2, Thursday at 4, and three times next week at these specific dates. And you have to specifically schedule those. Other tools like Buffer allow you to add them to a queue. What you can do with Meet Edgar is set up a list that you can continue to add to of any number, 10, 15, 30, 100 bits of previous content that it will automatically recycle. So you don't even have to schedule it.
That's cool.
It will just say, you know, here, that October 1st, I haven't posted that one in 3 weeks, so let's add that one as the next step. And then you can tell Edgar, I want you to post three times a day and on these platforms, and here's 50 pieces of content, and just cycle through it in a way that makes sense. And then you can go in and say, you know, I added a new blog post, so let me just add that to the content queue that Edgar has available to it. So it's even smarter than Buffer or Hootsuite, where you have to manually add things. This, you set it up, and it'll just keep posting on your behalf.
That's really cool. Okay, so it's fall, and it usually means that new products are announced now. Are there any specific products that are coming out that we should be aware of for our practices or maybe even our clients?
So the two elephants in that particular room are Samsung and Apple. Samsung just came out with new Galaxy phones and tablets, and Apple just announced, they announced so many products at one time, it was hard to keep up. But I think that's really when we start looking at going back to the whole mobile side of things, getting aware of mobile technology. a lot of the announcements, right, that have come out have been around mobile. And when I start looking at reading between the lines of these announcements, Apple announced the iPhone 8, the iPhone 8 Plus, the iPhone 10, which is the looks like an X, but you pronounce it 10. So the 8, the 8 Plus, the 10, the Apple Watch Series 3, the new Apple TV, and I think there was something else. Oh, and of course, there's the accompanying operating systems that go with all of those devices. Huge announcements. But as you look at the trend that these are doing, what they've done with the combination of new devices and new software is they're making the tablets and phones more and more of a desktop replacement. And this is true for both Apple and Samsung. They've increased both the computing power and the capabilities, operating system capabilities, such that the thing that you're carrying in your pocket is a more capable computer than the laptop you were using 5 to 6 years ago. So, and actually, in some cases, more like 2 to 3 years ago. So that actually means that you can, once you get over that mobile-first mindset, you can really start using these in much broader ways. And the announcements that we've seen this fall have all been geared towards improving our capabilities of being productive using these highly mobile devices. So I think there's really understanding what those announcements are and how to leverage the new hardware and software is a way that will improve our productivity and improve our ability to be responsive to other people and to our clients, because we'll be able to be responsive at any time.
That's great. So it can feel overwhelming, all this technology. Talk a little bit more about the Tech Happy Hour and what's involved in that, if people want to delve a little deeper or feel a little better about this whole area, Sarah.
Yeah, I like people to feel a little bit better, because as is probably kind of obvious, I'm really excited about this technology and the possibilities that it has. So I started the Tech Happy Hour to help other people to get excited and to see that excitement. It's a video-based, basically video-based blog slash service that gives out once a week. I have tips, tricks, and trends that I do for my Tech Happy Hour bar regulars it's all definitely themed. But to really make sure that there's an actionable tip that will help you right now and help you in the future. Because I see a lot of the things that are changing. And frankly, it takes a lot of time and effort to stay on top of all of these trends. I do it because I love it. And with the Tech Happy Hour, what I'm doing is really giving people that friendly face who will demystify and simplify the technology world just to the things that will really make a difference, and then show you how to do it in the simplest way possible. So that happens at a combination of my Facebook page for the Tech Happy Hour, as well as through an email service and subscription service I have at thetechhappyhour.com.
Good. And for those of you that are like me, that are better at adding numbers than spelling, it's TECHHappyHour.com. You can also learn more about Sierra at her website. She's a phenomenal speaker, really, you know, so approachable, does amazing consulting, and that's SierraModro.com. That's SierraModro.com. And Sierra, thank you so much for this incredible information. As soon as we're off the show, I'm going to get up and talk to people in my office about Edgar.com, and we're going to check out a bunch of other things. So thank you so much.
Oh, thanks, Ellen. This has been a lot of fun.
Great. And for all those of you out there listening, thank you so much for being here. Let us know what you think. You can find me at ellenrogan.com or on LinkedIn or Facebook. And, you know, as you know, part of growing your business is creating lasting client relationships, as we've been talking about. And I put together a free special report with my favorite ways to grow business. And you can find that at ellenrogan.com/whatclientscrave. And you can get a free copy there. And hopefully it will look awesome on your mobile device. So that's what we're hoping for. Great. And so until next time, the question to ponder is, how big of a positive impact are you willing to make? I'm wishing you success in every area of your life. Remember, be great and create great every single day.